First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report. My name is Bill Simmons. Our second BS Report of the week, we had Seth Meyers from Saturday Night Live on Monday. It's funny, we talked to him for like 45 minutes, and somehow during that entire time, I forgot to praise him in any way. I was like the anti-Arsenio Hall in that interview. And I meant to ask about Dr. David Zinger, who I love, and somehow it didn't come up, so I feel bad for that. Anyway, thanks to Seth for coming on, and today we have an action-packed podcast, not only the Week 6 Lions with Cousin Sal, but the dramatic conclusion of America's favorite running segment, Johnny, Are You Worried Yet? We're going to get to that in a second. Right now, let's bring on Cousin Sal, the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show, for the Week 6 Lions. This is where we take the NFL matchup. Sal guesses the Lions beforehand, and then he reads the matchups to me. I try to guess the Lions, and we see who does better. Sal, how you feeling this week?
I'm feeling, you know, you said week six. I'm getting nervous. We're getting to the halfway point. Already depressed, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's sad? We talked about this yesterday by email, but it's such a busy sports month, and yet yesterday there was not a single thing happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I said to you, and it's a good thing. Major League Baseball did a smart thing by starting that National League Series Thursday instead of Tuesday. Just giving people enough time to forget the two players on each team they already knew. From Arizona and Colorado.
Yeah. I don't know how you could screw that up. How could you screw up the baseball playoffs, which are supposed to happen every day, and not have an alternative if all the series end before four games?
Yeah, I know. They make the schedule way in advance, and they stick to it.
I think what the NFL should have done is they should have had an emergency game on Tuesday night, just taking like whatever the worst matchup is this week and just force them to play on Tuesday for the ratings.
That's pretty good. Well, they'd have a lot of choices if they were going to pick the worst matchup this week.
Well, it would have been the highest rated game they've had in a while, because what the hell else is on?
Excuse me, you don't have the Versus Network? You don't pick up the hockey games?
No, I don't. I don't. But now I have to get it because of Dennis Miller's new show.
Oh, that's right. I heard about
it. Yeah.
Do me a favor. I want to follow hockey this year. Just let me know as soon as the season starts. You got to let me know.
I will let you know. And okay. I think part of the problem is I still don't know where Versus is on my cable network.
Terrible.
Yeah. All right, let's go. Let's go with week six.
All right, week six. You know what? Let's save our big game for last, even after the Monday night game.
Okay, that'll be good.
Start off with Cincinnati at Kansas City.
Well, I like the Jags on our podcast and inexplicably switched to the Chiefs when I handed in my column, which was part of the 3-11 disaster.
Yeah.
I got killed last week.
I did poorly as well. I don't know. I this is terrible when you think you have a grip on who's good and bad, and then they really throw it back in your face.
But yeah, I got cocky, and I started ignoring all the classic rules, like how Dallas, that was an obvious trap game for them in Buffalo, and I ignored like seven of the rules. So anyway, I'm going to say Cincinnati by one.
Ooh, all right. I said 3.5. It's Cincinnati by 3. So they're giving a field goal on the road at Kansas City.
So wait a second. Jacksonville last week, in my opinion, clearly a better team than Cincinnati. Giving 2 in Kansas City last week, and now Cincinnati.
Did they get 2, or did they end up giving more?
No, it was 2.
Yeah, you're right.
And then Cincinnati, an inferior team, gives 3.
I just think maybe they think that KC is done. You know, I feel like we owe HBO a ton of money with showing us Hard Knocks. I mean, how much would we have lost on Kansas City until now, betting them?
It's really true.
Made up for that disastrous Sopranos ending.
Yes.
But I don't know. I don't know. I mean, would you take Kansas City this game? I don't think so.
No, I would not.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to two other. I mean, try to pick a good game in this bunch of early games. Philadelphia at the Jets.
You know, I watched that Jets game on NFL replay, and they really did give it away. I know they had some fluky touchdowns to begin with, but they were up 4. They're driving.
Yep.
And Pennington throws the awful pass into double coverage. Then Plax breaks the tackle for a long TD, and then Pennington throws another terrible interception. But I felt like they had that game.
Not many tackles you and I can make in the NFL. But that shoving Plex Burress out of bounds, I think we're going to take care of, right?
I think two fingers probably would have done
it.
So it's Philly at the Jets.
Yep.
See, I think this is a danger game for the Jets because the fans now have blood for, mm-hmm. for Pennington. They want Clemens.
Mm-hmm.
So until they take him out, I think it's going to be bad. I'm going to say Philly by 2.5.
All right, you got it. I said it would be a pick'em. I don't know. I got lost on that one. It's Philly by 3. Philly's given 3 on the road, too.
Makes sense. I think the Jets are almost better off playing on the road at this point.
Well, I think we always would scratch our heads looking at Pennington and say, how does that ball? He lost the ball, and it gets there every time. And now it's like he lost the ball, and it gets picked off every time. It kind of makes sense now that everything's going on the way it does.
That was a tough I don't know what to make of that Giants team, but we'll get to them.
Yeah. St. Louis at Baltimore.
Mm. Oh, I made a joke about this matchup last week.
You did?
What do we know about the Rams? I mean, they really might go 0-16.
Yeah, they're bad, and they're getting worse, and this is not a good spot for them.
No, it's not. Although I do think this Ravens team is extremely mediocre, but defense isn't bad. I'm going to say Baltimore by 10.
Yeah, you hit it exact. I said 9.5, but Baltimore is, in fact, given 10 on the road at home.
Dying for a three-team teaser there.
Yeah. Can you imagine if they had a good quarterback, this Baltimore team? They would have leads. They wouldn't have to worry about a close 9-7 game at San Francisco.
Well, the irony is they traded a future number one and a number two pick to pick Bowler.
That's right.
It's not like they didn't try to address this. And they also spent like $25 million on Elvis Gerbeck.
That's right, and they won't even pull the trigger and put Bowler in there. Like it looks like they're going to decide in the year 2019. Like, all right, we're finally going with Bowler.
I feel like there must be something going on with him that we don't know about because he's clearly better than McNair at this point.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. All right, Houston at Jacksonville.
Houston. The guy made 3 50-yard field goals last week. Was it 3?
Yeah, that was nice. Chris Brown, yeah.
It's quite a win. I think Jacksonville might be good almost by default because there are no other good teams, so they now have to be considered a top seven team. I don't know how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Jacksonville by 6.
All right, this is a close one. I said 6.5, and it's 7, at least for now. So.
Potential two-team teaser.
Yeah, that could be one. I don't know what to make. I think you're right, but this is I think one of those wild cards comes from that South division, so this could tell.
Well, it is possible the Jags just stunk in week one, and that was an aberration, and they're a good team.
Yeah. So far, is there a game you like to watch, even?
No. No, I'm mildly intrigued by Philly and the Jets just because of the Clemens-Pennington thing and to see if McNabb, like, are they going to put a tackle next to Winston Justice this week? I don't know.
Oh, you're right. Here's another one you're not going to like, Miami or Cleveland.
Ooh, that's a brutal one. I was kind of impressed. I watched that Pats-Browns game. Yeah, I think the Pats, whatever, they kind of, I don't want to say they mailed it in, but they're definitely looking ahead. But I thought the Browns were pretty good in that game.
No, they're not bad. They don't
Yeah, they're
away.
Not bad.
Yeah.
You could argue that they're in the 14 to 16 range in terms of the entire league.
And they're home this week.
I'm going to say Cleveland by 6.5.
All right, I get that one, I think. Yeah, I said 4.5, and it's 5. They made it 5 to open.
Why does Vegas keep... Or maybe the betting public. Why do they keep crediting Miami?
I don't know. I mean, like Ronnie Brown, I think leads the AFC in rushing or something. But otherwise, they can't put a win together. Trent Green's out for sure. I don't know. I guess the Cleo Lemon thing.
I mean, he's out literally. I mean, he's out. Like he's unconscious right now.
That was a familiar position we saw him in, but not getting up was a weird thing.
I kind of agreed with the guy who got mad at him.
Yeah, I did too. I don't really understand the difference between that and an illegal block. It can't be too much, right?
Yeah, I thought it was a cheap block, and I don't blame the guy for getting mad. I think he should have calmed down after the game a little bit. But
well, Peter King wants to fight him, so I look forward to that. That's on the NFL. All right. Well, maybe this is the best game of the early ones. Washington at Green Bay.
Well, the Green Bay thing kind of collapsed like a house of cards when everybody collectively realized that they can't run the ball.
Right.
Like it was all fun and games until they had the 10-point lead that they needed to protect, and they couldn't run. And I guess Washington is good now. They weren't good 2 weeks ago, but they're good now.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of these teams, or maybe both, are playoff teams in the NFC, and it's just lousy to watch. But
these NFC teams can look atrocious 1 week and then dominant the next week, and then they're atrocious again.
Well, here's how I look at it. If you have them to win the game or on a teaser or something, whoever it is, when they go down 7-0, are you confident? I mean, that to me is a good team. If you have them just to win and they're down 7-0, are you confident that they can come back? And I don't know. Not for either of these teams, I feel. I don't know.
Yeah, in the NFC, there's not a lot of teams that would fit that. This seems like an upset pick to me. I could see Washington winning this game. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Green Bay by 4.
Now, you were closer. I said 5. It's 3. They only made it a field goal, but it might go up during the week.
Well, that's interesting because that means that Vegas feels these teams are completely even.
Right. Green Bay gets the nod at home, though.
Green Bay, you could. I have a feeling they'll be looking back at that Week 5 game for a while.
Yeah.
Really could have been up 21-0 at halftime.
Yep. Two more early games. Tennessee at Tampa Bay. Actually a game the NFC could win, possibly, over the AFC.
I watched that Tennessee game on NFL replay in support of my sleeper Falcons. Mm-hmm. The Falcons, it is amazing how many chances they had in that game. Like, it is, they must have been in the red zone like 20 times.
Did you ever see Leftwich overthrow? Anyone ever overthrow anyone like that in the last minute?
Well, the best
15 yards he was overthrowing guys.
Yeah, and he was still 100 times more competent than Joe Harrington was.
Exactly.
Harrington completely fell apart in the second half, like just completely. The Titans did nothing to win the game and somehow won it. And what I didn't realize, because we didn't have that game on at Jimmy's house, I didn't realize the Falcons had first and goal from the 2.
They were down seven
the last 2 minutes. Yeah, and Haynesworth jumped over the center and had like an 8-yard loss, and that was it. But so who are they? So it's Tennessee at?
Tennessee's at Tampa Bay, who's right now as good as any team in that NFC South, especially now.
I'm going to say that's a Tampa by 3.
That's right. I had 3 also. It's exactly 3.
Right. That makes sense. Those teams are even.
Looks like a stay away. And finally, for the early games, Minnesota at Chicago.
Minnesota coming off a bye week.
Right. They're coming off a bye. But Chicago's back on track, right? There no division losses at home from here on in, probably.
It seems like they got something going.
Yeah.
I do feel like Greasy at least looks like he's going to be mediocre. They just need mediocre.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to say Chicago by 7.5.
All right. See, I said 8.5, and I thought that was maybe even low for that, but it's 6. They opened it at 6, which I don't know. Is that a trap game, or what are they doing?
Possibly.
They have to. These early games are really lousy. Like, this is, there are 6 teams on a bye this week. And two of them are Indianapolis and Pittsburgh. And I don't know if the scheduling committee is listening to this, but you can't make a two-team teaser with Indianapolis and Pittsburgh being off the same week. So please.
And with New England playing a good team.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's
bad. Oh, the best team. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The later games, late afternoon, Carolina at Arizona. It's getting better.
I think that the Kurt Warner thing actually kind of helps Arizona.
Yeah, why not?
It settled a problem that they couldn't resolve because it was clear that Warner was playing better than Leinart, but they didn't want to just give him the job, and now they've.
Wisenhunt couldn't have been too upset when Leinart was wheeled off there in that last guy, right?
They
put him in for one play towards that end.
Do you think he went in the locker room and he slapped him on the shoulder and said, it's going to be okay. Oh, sorry. I'm going to say Arizona by 5.
All right, I said Arizona by 2. It's 3.5, so you get that one.
No, we split that one.
You get that one. But Carr is even questionable. I don't even know what they're going to do. That NFC South is such a mess.
We split
one
that
of these
one.
Teams is going to make the playoffs.
We split the difference on that.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
I'm not counting.
2 and 5, 3.5.
I got you. Oh, I got
Who's playing quarterback for Carolina?
No, it's going to be Carr, but who did I see? No, they didn't sign Rete.
Oh, they signed Vinny, I thought.
Oh, is that who they signed?
Yeah, that'll work out well.
All right, well, that line is going to move then. Oakland at San Diego.
Ooh. Somebody's got to be the 6th AFC playoff team.
Yeah.
I mean, We need six. By law, there has to be six. It could be the Raiders.
They might change it.
They could win this game. It's not improbable.
I don't know. I think this is the same as Minnesota-Chicago. Like, they're back on track, these home teams, San Diego. Maybe they keep it close.
But you know what, though, what we've seen with teams that have a lot of talent but a bad coach? Mm-hmm. They tend to look awesome in those 41-3 games and terrible in the 24-21 games.
They could struggle here, yeah.
And this one seems like – I like the points in this one, but I'm going to say the Chargers by 8.
It's I said 9.5. It's 10.5, so I get that one.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that line at all.
It's a little high. I bet Oakland plays them tough, but I don't see them winning this.
I think they might have a better coach. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess just because they'll have a live body going against North Turner.
Yep.
And talent-wise, I don't know if it's that much of a disparity.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Sunday night, New Orleans at Seattle.
That's it for the late games?
Yeah, well, we have ours. There's three late games because they don't go up against baseball too
okay.
much. But we'll do ours last.
I'm not coming over this week. I'm watching that one by myself. All right, what do you got?
New Orleans at Seattle at Sunday night.
God, New Orleans couldn't beat a team with a third-string QB at home.
Ugh.
Embarrassing. And I hate the Seattle team. People of Seattle, I hate your team. It's ridiculous.
They lose enough to win that division. They're gonna with injuries, they're gonna win that division.
It's really embarrassing. Like, God forbid they show up for a road game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I'm rooting for the NFC, and that's
like
that time.
Ultimate front runner team. I'm gonna say Seattle by 9.
Wow. I said 7.5. It's 6.5. So I guess I'm closer there. Yeah.
Really?
They can't even
New Orleans
touchdown
is
at home.
New Orleans playing in one of the toughest places in the NFL. Not getting a touchdown.
Let me ask you this. Like, we, you know, a lot of people had New Orleans going to the NFC Championship game this year. Now we got to start looking at them as maybe one of the worst Saint teams of all time if they can't win the game, right?
It's true.
We bring them back the paper bags pre-Katrina. I don't know how bad this team really is now.
It's true. Not only that, but they have the quarterback and the running back on the fantasy serial killer team.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a rare double-double, but Jesus, if you took Breeze or Bush, your season's over, basically.
I didn't take either of them, and my season's over.
Did you get a fantasy win yet?
I have not. I'm 0-5. Well, I did. I got it in one of these free leagues, but I'm 0-5 in our league, the league you're 5-0 in, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Dramatic.
I did a horrible job assembling talent. I took Frank Gore and Marvin Harrison and Terrell Owens.
Yeah, what were you thinking?
Mark Bolger. It's just a ragtag bunch. I really have to do more research next year.
Yeah, it was bad.
So mad. All right, what else do we have? All right, let's go to Monday night before we go to ours again. Giants at Atlanta. You know, our cousin, really my cousin, is going to be in the booth for this one.
He's flying to Atlanta?
Yeah, we're flying to Atlanta after Pat's Cowboys game, and he's going to be in the booth. And he wanted to do it via satellite from the Waffle House, but they wouldn't allow it. So.
That's a long trip to Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, we had a choice between last week, Buffalo and Dallas, or this one. So I'm really glad we took this one.
Yeah, that was good. I'm glad they made you happy.
Would have been allowed.
I didn't know they were doing celebrities in the booth anymore.
Yeah, well, Barkley was on a couple weeks ago. I think they're doing it every 3 weeks or something.
Did he edge out Christian Slater?
They may have to split time. I don't know.
It was a coin toss. Wait, so who is the road team?
Giants at Atlanta. And the Giants, it scares me, but they're all of a sudden maybe good again, and they have Atlanta, Miami, and San Francisco in the next 3 weeks, which infuriates me.
Well, they can do one thing. They can rush the passer, and mm-hmm. they can do two things. They can rush the passer, and they seem to have a knack for these 50-yard plays,
right?
Which is a nice combination. I'm going to say Giants by 3.
All right, you're closer there. I said 5, and it's 3.5.
Hmm.
So who knows? Maybe that'll be a good game. But
I can't overstate how bad Harrington was in that game. Like, you really had to see it. He was as bad as you could possibly play that position.
I guess, until you put Leftwich in. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Leftwich actually was like a calming force with his complete overthrows. At least he wasn't throwing them to the other team.
What a disaster.
Yeah.
All right. In our game, which is a late afternoon game Sunday, New England at Dallas. This is a big one. 2-5-0 teams matching up.
But you're a little rattled after that Buffalo game, you have to admit.
Of course.
You don't feel good.
No. We're going to have to run the ball or we don't have a chance. And I actually think we have a better chance against you in February in Arizona than we do on the turf at home. But
yeah,
see what happens.
I have to ask you something. If Nick Folk had missed the second kick after the cheap Dick Durant timeout and the rule they need to change because it's just awful. How angry would you have been if he had shanked the second one?
I was still mad, even though he made it. I was like, in fact, it is lame that these games are decided with coaches whispering into the referee's ear on the sideline. Like, that's not how it should be. Couldn't it be like basketball where you have to have the ball to call timeout unless there's an injury or something? Like, I don't know. It just doesn't seem fair that you could do that.
Something has to change, and I know, like, the way the rule is written, it's legal what there's done, but there has to be like a spirit of the game rule or something,
right? At some point,
if only for the fans. Like you watch that first kick and you're probably going crazy that it went in, and then they kind of stayed on that wide shot and you knew something had gone horribly wrong.
Yeah, as soon as the refs wouldn't put their arms up, I'm like, here we go.
It's just I just think it's terrible to do to the fans of whoever made the kick.
Well, here's what this would be a risky move, but I think this would end it all. Like, let's say Folk lines up and anticipating that they're going to call timeout and misses the first one by like 40 yards. Like, he kicks it off into the sidelines at the 10-yard line. And then the second one he nails, picture perfect down the middle. Then no one would do it ever again.
Well, I thought you were going to say that he should aim toward the coach and try to kick it right at the coach as the guy's calling timeout. I hate that rule, though. God, it's just awful.
It wouldn't have been in baseball. It's like if the pitch is halfway to the batter and the batter calls timeout. It's not in basketball. You don't see it anywhere else. So.
And the coach can't feel good about it.
No.
I'm sorry. You can't be sitting there in the sidelines thinking like, wow, I really pulled one over them.
No, it's like three steps behind bringing in spy cams for games. But, you can't feel good about it.
You had to go there. You really did.
This is going to be a big one.
All right. Well, I'm going to say Pats by 3.
Ooh. Wow. You were off a little. Cowboys by 7.
Shut up.
Vegas expects Dallas to romp. I said 3.5, and it's 4.5. So I guess I'm a little closer. But I could see that going up a little. I don't know.
Going up toward the Pats?
I'm not blowing smoke up. I don't know. I don't like what I saw out of our team last week.
I'm surprised.
Yeah?
Yeah, I am. I'm a little surprised because no Maroney unless he plays, right? I mean, right now we don't know if he's playing or not. But
Sammy Morris isn't bad, yeah.
I guess it makes sense because maybe there's a Pats tax like there's a Colts tax now, so you have to add the extra.
Well, if you make it a pick, no one's going to bet Dallas. And if you make it under 3, no one's going to bet Dallas. You know, it's got to kind of be there.
Well, you're going to have a great crowd.
I think so.
Like, the crowd will be there, and if the Pats were going to lose a game, it's going to be either this one or the Colts game.
I got it. How desperate must Jerry Jones be now to sign Tony Romo to a contract? Like, after the fifth pick, I'm surprised he didn't run out there pen in hand. Like, all right, it's the best of ball scenarios. We win the game, and you are awful. So
maybe that's why he's so rich, because he knew not to sign Romo until Romo had an awful game.
A smart guy.
Yeah. Romo made it cost himself $10 million. Do you feel confident about Romo, or do you think it was an aberration?
I think he's good. I don't know what happened there. Like, I mean, only 4 of those were his fault. Like, people think all 5 were his fault, but only 4 of them were really bad. But, I mean, that one bounce at the number 90 of the Bills just, you could play a Nerf game 150,000 times and that would never happen, but catches in the end. But I think he'll be solid. I think he's all right.
It was funny watching it. It really did remind me of the no effing way game that my buddy Gus and I always joke about in video games where, like, when you're throwing the pass that the defensive lineman bats to himself for the touchdown, like, you know it's not your night, but somehow the Cowboys won.
Yeah, in stride. Well, the one thing I'll say is we gave up, and you must have given up when you played the Bills similar numbers with we gave up like 220 yards defensively, which is great. I mean, they had 2 defensive touchdowns and a kick return for a touchdown. So that's what kept us in there. But,
the onside kick was one of the better executed onside kicks I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Like, you really, like, 1 out of 100 times maybe it works that perfectly. It's exactly how you would draw it up because it even gained them like 10 yards in field position.
Well, I mean, Emmitt Smith said it best, right? What did he say?
He said, I think
taking
he said
a page
in the words
of great Jimmy Valvano's book. What
in the
name?
Words of Jim Valvano, don't quit. Don't even quit. He's the best.
Oh, that's a great hire.
I'm pushing so hard for us to give him his own late night show. I feel like if Joe Buck can get an audition with Fox for a late night show, I feel like the Emmett Smith show needs to happen.
Great football player, mediocre dancer, and it just keeps going lower and lower, whatever you put him in next.
They're definitely cutting this out now.
All right.
Let's do the baseball lines really quick.
All right. I mean, baseball's weird, but go ahead. We'll start with – now, is Colorado the Diamondbacks? I don't even know who's who. Colorado – all right, Arizona's the Diamondbacks.
Arizona's the Diamondbacks. Colorado's the Rockies.
Gotcha.
Right. And Arizona is the team with – Arizona is the team with Brandon Webb.
Gotcha, right.
And Jose Valverde. And Colorado is the team that used to have Larry Walker.
Yeah. I ran into Charlie Steiner last week. I'm like, Charlie, see, this is exactly what happens when everyone roots against the Mets and Dodgers all year. This is what you get. And he's like, Colorado's winning it. They're winning the whole thing. It's like they're a great team.
Yeah, and you know what would be amazing if they made the World Series? Like, they're trailing two runs in that last game.
Mm-hmm.
In the Padres game. The baseball is so strange that way. Like, really, like...
Yeah.
The Padres fans have to be just killing themselves right now.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they should. Yeah.
I'm going to say for that one, who has home field advantage?
Arizona's home.
I'm going to say Arizona minus 160.
I thought it would be 140. And actually, the Rockies are favored, minus 125.
Seriously?
So the Rockies, yeah. The Rockies are a slight favorite, even though they're a road team. And I guess they won the season series 10-8, so...
Huh. I'm surprised by that one. Nobody likes this Diamondbacks team.
I know. Well, no one can even pronounce it, you see. But, no, they hit like 250 as a team, and you can't – it's just a slap in the face to everyone. It's a slap in the face to the Mets who spent $600 million on that team that
right.
You can't recognize anyone. It's a slap in the face to the Pirates who also don't have anyone you could recognize but end up with 62 wins every year, you know. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I'm predicting a Boston-Arizona World Series because I think the Drew family, before everything's said and done, will really annoy all of America.
Oh, wow. That's
why.
Call.
As soon as I realized they were in the NL playoffs, because, you know, I don't follow the NL, I was thinking like, wow, Steven Drew, J.D. Drew.
Yeah.
That'll be something they can
it's
really
It's a dream
out.
Matchup like
yeah.
Peyton and Eli. Really
It'll
is.
Be good.
All right, Red Sox and Indians.
Well, we have the home field in this. Uh-huh. I think that's worth about minus 50, and I think we're slightly better. Uh-huh. So I'm going to say minus 180.
That's a good call. It's 170. I thought it would be minus 250.
The Indians are good. I am not.
Really? You think people are going to bet
that? I do.
Huh?
I think the Indians are good.
In a seven game. If it were five, I'd be like, well, this could go either way. But
Yeah, but then Sabathia and Carmona together, it's I am not. Enthusiastic.
Man, he's hitting the ball 520 feet every time he steps up.
I know. Well, you know, the reason you'd be enthusiastic is because of the closers. I think that's the one real difference.
Now, are you going to watch the games? Because you almost shut off game three. You thought it was so in the bag against the Angels, and you ended up being right. But
I couldn't have been less concerned about the Angels. I really couldn't have. I didn't even want to go to the game. I'm very concerned about the Indians. And
really?
Yeah, I really am. And I think it's a very even series, and especially because Sizemore and Hafner are hitting.
All right. Well, it'll be a good one. You got to show up Sunday. We're watching the Cowboys and Patriots together.
Yeah, you'll see me there in about 2 weeks. Have fun on your Atlanta trip. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, pal. Thanks.
Now it's time for the dramatic conclusion of America's favorite running segment. Johnny, are you worried yet? All season long, I've been calling my buddy John O'Connell at work, a.k.a. Jacko, Johnny. He has about a million nicknames. But we've been calling him at work every week to see how worried he was about the Yankees. And this started actually when the Red Sox had, I think, like a 13 or 14-game lead over the Yanks. And we made it a running segment. The Yankees got close. We've had some dramatic twists and turns. And then finally, this week, the Yankees lose to Cleveland. So we're going to call him at work and get his final take of the 2007 baseball season. Goes. It's going to be emotional.
Hello, John O'Connell.
Johnny.
Hi, Bill.
Johnny.
Yes, Bill.
I can't even ask it because it's over.
I'm going to confess I'm a little nervous about their chances in 2007.
Johnny, I guess maybe it's better that we don't have the Armageddon.
It would be appropriate now if I followed that up with the sound of breaking glass as I leap out of my office window. But That's really the only fitting response to that. But no, that is the one thing. You know, I literally couldn't have taken Yankees Red Sox part three or four or whatever we're up to. So
as long as you're telling yourself that, I think that's the important thing.
I need something to get me through the night. The lithium and the scotch aren't quite doing it. So
walk me through game four. Qianming Wang had 3 days rest.
Yeah, I felt good about it. I mean, I supported that decision. The other day I talked myself into, well, he's a sinker ball pitcher, so the more tired his arm is, the better it will be. Turns out that wasn't accurate. And then right off the bat, boom, home run, and then he's in trouble. And, you know, when Mike Mussina is the answer, you're not in good shape, you know.
But then the middle innings come.
Yeah.
I think it was the sixth or seventh inning. The Yanks have a little momentum. It's 6-2. Some guys on base.
Well, the thing was,
the captain comes up. You're feeling like it's going to turn around.
This is not going to be another audio clip now, is it?
No, that was it for audio clips.
Thank you. The production values are really through the roof on this.
But Jeter, when he was up there, you were really thinking, "Wow,
he's going to come back." I've seen the shirts that say Captain Clutch, and he's been Mr. Clutch in the past, you know.
And then he hits into a double play.
His third double play, yes. That was a rally killer. You know, I still had hope even in the later innings because I had hope against Paul Byrd and Joe Borowski. I'm not going to kid you; they didn't put the fear of God into me. But you know, I mean, it was pathetic against Paul Byrd. The guy looked like Sandy Koufax out there. It was a joke. It's Paul Byrd. Even when they were down 4-0, I still kept, you know, I consoled myself with the fact that it was Paul Byrd, and eventually they were going to erupt. But they never erupted, as we now know.
And then you hit the homer in the ninth. And then
Posada from A-Rod, yeah.
Posada hits the Roy Hobbs in the natural, curves foul.
Oh, my God. I thought, like, if he hit that out there, I figured Borowski just explodes.
Who comes up next after Posada?
Hideki Matsui.
So he would have been up 6-5.
Right.
And the crowd's going crazy at that point.
Right. And Borowski's shaking like a leaf and sweating.
And instead, you got eliminated and Matsui had to go back to his porn.
Exactly right.
It's really too bad how it worked out.
Yeah,
so,
it's a shame.
Let's go through the principles. Joe Torre, back or not come back?
Well, if it was up to
hold on. Let me ask that question in English. Joe Torre, would you want him to come back or do you want him to go?
I want him to come back, but he's not going to. I mean, I think Steinbrenner's resolved to the fact. I think Steinbrenner must have watched The Bronx is Burning, either live or on DVD, and he's like, you know, I liked myself better 30 years ago when I was completely insane. I think I might revert back to that. That seems to make some sense.
Yeah.
So I think Torrey's gone. And let me tell you, I'm going to tell you right now, if Tony La Russa or Bobby Valentine is involved, I'm officially a free agent for baseball teams.
Wow.
I will accept offers from any other team in the league, with the exception of the Red Sox, of course, to be their fan, because I want no – La Russa, I suppose I can swallow, but if Bobby Valentine is the manager of the New York Yankees, that's going to have serious repercussions for me.
Well, I watched you disown the Cowboys after the White House incident.
Exactly.
You did.
Jerry Jones, right.
You couldn't root for Jerry Jones, you couldn't root for a band of convicts, and you wrote them off.
Right, and I stand by that decision, even though I switched to the Giants, and that really hasn't worked out for me in terms of championships or playoff appearances. So.
Switched.
Yeah.
You're terrible. You need to... You're a mess.
I couldn't give up on the Yankees. Though.
You couldn't give up on the Yankees.
No,
you
would, they're my
you
one,
would talk
they're my
yourself,
one true love.
Not only would you talk yourself into Bobby V, but on Fridays you would drive down to Stanford and eat chicken wings at Bobby V's and watch the game with the other Yankee fans.
I would.
You would talk yourself into him in about 5 minutes.
I could visit with your mom and your stepfather.
Yeah, that would
be
great.
We could all meet up at Bobby V's before the game. That would be actually fun. Now maybe I want Bobby V. So.
My Uncle Rick, yeah, it would be great.
All the guys.
All right. So Joe Torre, you want him to come back, but he's not coming back. What about A-Rod?
Well, you know, I was listening on the radio today, and somebody called in, and they had the exact point I was thinking in my head, although it would never happen. He could completely be the toast of New York if he was to pull, like, a Hoosiers thing and say, Joe goes, I go. Joe stays, I sign right now.
Interesting.
Of course, that would never, ever, ever happen. There's a greater likelihood of my floating around my office right now, just levitating spontaneously. But I don't know. I think A-Rod's a big upgrade over Wilson Bedemeade at third base. I'll put it that way. Although his playoff performance is not really making anybody forget Mickey Mantle. But
I could see A-Rod actually telling Scott Boras, "Hey, here's my plan," and then Scott Boras slapping him hard across the face, saying, "Listen, don't you ever think like that again. We're getting $30 million a year. We're getting $300 million for the next 10 years. Just shut up."
That's just it. I mean, it becomes, you know, A-Rod, because he's the phony corporate spokesman that he is, comes out and is like, oh, I love New York, I have unfinished business. Well, he's the player. He could sign tomorrow.
Yeah.
But the reality is Boris is calling the shots, and Boris is like, I want a $400 million contract. I want it, you know. But yeah. Imagine if he did that. Like, he would really surpass Jeter in terms of the love New York would have for him. If he's like, give Tory a three-year contract, and I'll sign right now for 10 years and $300 million.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Let's have a press conference tomorrow. We'll sign both.
I wish you had just told me that by email so I could have used that for my column. Now you've claimed it for yourself in the podcast.
Well, I actually got it. I was thinking it, but I heard it on the radio, so I have to. I don't want people emailing you and saying, he heard that on the radio. So.
Well, that is an interesting scenario, and I don't think it'll happen because Boris is clearly trying to make enough money to buy his own baseball team so he can negotiate with himself. That's where this is headed. He would be just in a room with himself negotiating gigantic contracts. All right, so A-Rod's probably gone. I think he goes to Colorado or Anaheim or somewhere out here, and he can just live in the West Coast and nobody will bother him. And
well, the interesting thing, though, is that, I mean, if the Yankees claim in the paper today that if he opts out of his contract and they're not getting the $7 million a year from Texas, that they're out of it, they're not going to be in a bidding war.
Yeah.
So if the Yankees aren't involved, who does Boris think he's getting $40 million a year from?
The Mets.
Omar Minaya is just going to bid against himself? Actually, he might. Never mind.
Well, I think he saw the Soriano and the Zito contracts, and that probably whetted his appetite.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you need the Yankees, and unless you can plant stories that the Red Sox are going to be involved and that the Yankees get back in, but
well,
I
don't know if
he's going to drive it up.
But he did that, though. He did that with J.D. Drew. He convinced the Red Sox there were other people bidding for him. There was nobody bidding for J.D.
Drew.
Not a single team.
I suppose. But even J.D. Drew's ridiculously inflated contract isn't $40 million per, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
I see him ending up in Anaheim, and here's why. Because he kind of fits in with the whole Disney theme park element of the Anaheim area to begin with. And I think you team him and Vlad, and you have two guys who will really take you nowhere in the playoffs. Like, you're guaranteed to get swept in every playoffs you're going to be in.
Can Anaheim justify, like, how are they going to make that $40 million a year back?
They're going to make him a theme park ride. Seriously. They could be an A-Rod roller coaster or something. Like, they could do, like, a whole thing and have, like, a museum for him. I think that's where he's going to go.
Yeah, that would be a perfect location for him. It wouldn't shock me, so.
He could be on a Jim Rome show.
Yeah.
Ted, that'll be like the height of where you see him media-wise.
Yeah, that's true. There's no like press breathing down his neck or whatever. Yeah, he can chase all the sheet mails that he wants.
All right. They're cutting that one out. What about the Hick trader?
The who?
The Hick trader, Roger Clemens.
Oh, God. Jesus. God. You know, of course I don't want him back. He's shot.
So he's going to retire.
Well, for now, would it shock me to see him dangled around sometime in June? Probably not, but I don't think he's coming back.
So he's not on the team. Does Mussina come back?
Well, he's under contract.
Right, because they re-sign him.
Yes. Well, I think he's under contract for one more year. I don't think he's a free agent.
I know he's under contract, but there's no way
they're not just going to trade him or cut him?
Well, I was thinking they'd just take him behind Yankee Stadium and shoot him like a racehorse. That can't happen?
There's plenty of places around Yankee Stadium where you could do that, actually, too.
Yeah.
No, I think they'll probably – well, I mean, it depends if they make Jabba a starter or not. If they make Jabba a starter and you have Jabba,
please make
Wong,
him a starter.
Pettit, and Hughes. Oh, yeah, probably Mussina's back. Hopefully.
Pettit comes back.
Yeah,
definitely.
Probably. Although Torres being there might be a factor for him.
What about George Posada?
Yeah, I think he comes back.
He doesn't get blown away by some, like, random National League team that offers him $75 million for 5 years or something?
I don't think so.
How about Rivera? Because I feel like there's some Adam Vinatieri similarities here, where he's upset that they didn't take care of him, and he's just going to say, screw you, and go to, like, the Red Sox.
Well, that's a distinct possibility. That's what he claims, that he's upset because they didn't lock him down. So, you know, I don't know. It's hard for me to envision either here or Posada in another uniform, but anything's possible in this day and age.
I would love for Rivera to be in the Red Sox.
As their closer?
No, as like a setup guy.
Really?
We'll give him the seventh and eighth innings, and we'll play Enter the Sandman when he comes in.
I think it would just ruin his Yankees legacy, though. Like, if he went to the Red Sox, that would just so bum out everybody.
Yeah, but that Adam Vinatieri did it, and people forgot in, like, 3 months.
Plus, he's a born-again Christian, so why does he want to go over to the dark side and play for that satanic team? I don't understand that.
Very good point. Susan Wobben, does she stay or does she go?
Unfortunately, she's going to be there, I think. Yeah, pretty sure.
She cried.
I know.
Even you didn't cry after the Yankees lost, or did you?
No, I did not, no. I was too busy hurling expletives and things around the room.
She cried.
Yeah, I know.
She's a media member, and she cried after the game.
But she's like the den mother for a Cub Scout troop. That's like what she sees her role as with the Yankees. She's like baking them brownies and stuff. I mean,
has she been getting killed in New York for that?
Yeah. Actually, surprisingly, on the other radio station, they were fairly kind to her. And they said, well, it's just Susan. You know, that's okay. She's emotional. She's in with the team. But, yeah.
I can't decide whether that setback the cause for females in the sports media or if it actually helped it.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
That's
she's
a loaded question.
She's a different case than, like, other journalists, though.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like a, you know, she's an employee of the Yankees, for God's sake. She's not like a journalist, you know?
But imagine if, like, Aaron Andrews cried after the Yankees lost. That would have been bizarre. But somehow Susan Wildman gets away with it. It's like, ah, well, yeah.
If Aaron Andrews cried, I'd have got a little emotional as well.
Well,
what about this? Let me ask you a question. Is there a scenario? I have a scenario that I wonder if you're nervous about. Are you nervous about Trout Nixon going like 3 for 4 with a home run and 3 RBIs in the same game that Nancy Drew goes 0 for 5?
No, I'm not.
Are you
not
nervous
about
the crowd reaction in that situation?
Not nervous about Trout Nixon. He faced the one pitcher in the American League that he could still hit in Game 3 of your series.
Can't you see Trout cowboying up one last time, though, against the Old Town team?
Not unless there's a ton of anabolic steroids involved.
I can't believe you're throwing Trout under the bus.
I'm not. I think he's done. I think his body is broken down. I mean, he couldn't even bend over to get that single in right field. It went right by him.
Well, that's the scenario that I'm rooting for. That's the only one pathetic grasping thing I have left. But, you know, that's all I really have to cling to. So,
I was going to ask you that. So you're obviously rooting for Cleveland.
Oh God, my God, yeah, of course. There's the only possible scenario where I would ever root for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Is if they remade a modern version of the movie Victory.
Yeah.
And there was a team of Al-Qaeda, an Al-Qaeda baseball team, and they played the Red Sox. I would root for the Red Sox in that circumstance. I can't think of any other. And even then, it would be hard for me to root for Schilling and Euclid.
You know... You know what's sad? You're like the bitter boyfriend who got dumped. And... The girl, your ex-girlfriend has moved on, and you're just rooting against everybody she's dated. That's you right now. You're a Yankees fan in 2007.
By the way, if someone's listening to this and they want to make that movie, that's my idea.
So right now,
that's the plot of Rambo 4, actually.
It's like, a pretty good one.
Yeah.
So right now, there's somebody in the fifth grade, maybe the sixth grade, who has no recollection of what it's like when the Yankees were on top.
True.
Does that scare you?
No, it scares me what's going to happen to the future of the team with the crucial decisions that have to be made about Torrey and players and everything else and a new stadium. And
you don't know if your owner is hooked up to a respirator or not.
Exactly.
That concerns me more.
And it concerns me that of the names being, you know, it concerns me. I love Don Mattingly, but his first managerial position after filling in for Torrey after 12 years in the playoffs and, you know, A-Rod and Posada and Mariano. There's a lot of big decisions out there that concern me a great deal more than some poor fifth grader. He'll see him win someday.
Well, Johnny, tragically, or maybe not so tragically, Are You Worried Yet, Johnny?
Yes.
Is now done for the season. It hasn't been canceled. It's just the end of the run until 2008.
It was a great one. I've appreciated it. I've enjoyed my time with you.
Well,
I've enjoyed the emails from people in Cleveland that wanted me to go and do things to them. I will not be visiting Ohio, but I thank them for the offer, and it's been a good time.
Best of luck watching the baseball playoffs the rest of the way.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Worst of luck to you in the playoffs, my friend.
Thank you. We'll talk to you in 2008.
Fantastic.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
So I get to sign off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at Podcenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.